All right, so we've been going through Exodus, and I think the last time that I was here, we had gotten down through chapter 20, verse 13, and it's not, pause for a second, it's not bad enough that I've always had trouble here the last several months with getting hoarse and losing my voice and things, but they've messed around with my medicine some, and I'm on a heavier dose of one thing, and another thing has been added, and I'm finding that it's causing a lot more of this going on. So about halfway through here, I'm probably gonna go, and then Jesse, you may have to jump up here and finish this lesson. So, but
you can do it.
You can do it. But let's go ahead and recap quickly where we were the last time. We've been going through the Ten Commandments, and we talked about honor your father and your mother, and went through how that is the only commandment with a promise. We discussed some of that. We talked about you shall not murder, and we talked about the differences between murder and killing, and the distinctions that Scripture makes when it comes to premeditated actual murder versus killing that may happen out of self-defense or during wartime. And we discussed how wars can be murder depending on the situation. But there is a biblical distinction between the two. I know I saw some protesters the other day that were protesting what's going on in Israel, and they had a huge sign up that said, "Thou shalt not kill." And I thought, you know, it's a hard discussion to have when you say, you know, you're taking a stance against one country defending itself. And I know there's some nuances that could be discussed there, but you're not bringing up the fact that the reason that this has begun is that another country decided to come in and murder a bunch of their people. And so now you say, well, y'all shall not kill. Does it not apply this way? You know, there's these people, well, the reason I bring that up, people will take the commandments and they will twist them and apply them selectively to things that push their own agenda, as opposed to saying, well, we need to look at this from a biblical perspective, and that's it. Who was I talking to the other day? Might have been Josh. Where I said, you know, we have to be very, very careful when we are defending our faith, when we are trying to explain our faith, or we're trying to just give explanations about things, that we're not selectively picking Scripture or interjecting our own opinions or our own traditions that Scripture doesn't really back up. You know, on all of these topics that exist in the world with regard to, you know, just questions that we don't, that we have a difficult time dealing with. A lot of folks will say, well, I just can't believe that, or I really have a hard time thinking that. And you have to say, well, but what does the Bible say? It's like we were out here in the gathering place several months back when, two and a half years ago, LD was sitting there and we were having a conversation, and he just said, John, I got a question for you. He said, do you believe in demon possession? And I said, you know, I have a really hard time with it, but the Bible speaks of it. So I have no choice but to believe in it. And he said, exactly. He said, that's the same place I'm at. He said, I have a really hard time with it, but the Bible speaks of it. So it obviously is real. And so we stand on God's word, whether we have a hard time with it or not. That this is where we come from, right? And so we just need to be careful that we bring God's word together and use it as our reasoning or our filter, I guess I should say, for what we believe and why we believe it.
John, I think a lot of that has to do, you know, what you're talking about, thou shalt not kill, the sign and everything. It has to do with the fact that I think many people, whether they're believers or not, they live temporally. They live like the world is all that there is, and that they're going to be able to somehow, I don't know if it's they don't realize or they really haven't read all of the scripture, you know, especially the part where if you lead them astray, it'd be better, you know, for you if you had a millstone the next day. I don't know if they don't get that, but it's like they live like this world is the way their words, the things that they say and they teach, and, you know, especially those who teach stuff like that from behind the pulpit, like this is all there is. You must be living that way because you don't read the part where you're going to face judgment, possibly eternal judgment for what you've said and done. You know, you think that God's just going to let that go. You've led all of these people astray from what His Word is.
Yeah, it is truly a selective belief, a selective argument of, well, I'm going to use this piece of scripture because it backs up what I have to say and what I believe. And well, let's talk about judgment. Oh, well, I don't believe that part of the Bible. How does that work? How do you look at it and say, well, this part here is good. I'll take this. I won't take any of this. I just don't know how you get there. It's mind-boggling.
We're in the midst of the Ten Commandments, and I can tell you that I have heard people justify breaking every single one of them. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Whether they've broken them or they're defending somebody that they love or they care about who's broken them or somebody they just agree with has broken them. Well,
yeah.
Prime example, that guy that killed that the head of that big health
insurance. Yeah. The insurance company.
I can't think of his name.
Luigi Mangione.
Yeah.
They're celebrating the guy. He's a millionaire because of it, because of all of the GoFundMe stuff. And for what? Because he killed a guy. He had to kill him. I mean, you see it. He had to do it.
I realize he's going to go. He has due process coming, but it's really hard to deny what we know. Yeah. It was on video, right? So, yeah, I don't understand that either. It's this to me. That's a picture of true evil that exists.
What if they decide that you need to die because you know, you're this or that?
Yeah.
That's where that leads.
Well, that's what happened to Jesus.
Hmm. Not wrong. You are correct. It's a strange thing. He goes, that guy I was talking about that I had the conversation with at Camp Washington Chile, when we were talking about scripture, and he was trying to tell me that all paths are good. You know, if you're on the path of Christianity, that's great. Stay there. It's wonderful. If you're on the path of Buddhism, that's great. That works too. You know, all paths lead to the same God type of a belief structure. And then my question back to him was, but my path tells me that all the other paths are wrong. So if my path tells me that all the other paths are wrong, is my path right? And he said, well, that's where man has messed with the scriptures. He said that part was, that should not be there.
But there's so many verses and so many places that say that exact same thing.
Yes.
How did man change every single one of them?
So, I mean, that was the first thing that popped into my head was, if you're telling me that my path is right, I know that my path says that you're wrong. So can we both be right? Is that how this works? And yeah, we can both be right as long as you throw out what makes you wrong. So I don't work that way. The Bible doesn't work that way.
So. Which is pretty much how most of theirs work too.
Granted, yes.
Right. Or even twisted scripture. I've been looking at things all week since having that conversation, and just what else could possibly get thrown at me here that I need to be able to teach what's actually true from the Bible. And there was one verse in particular that stuck out at me. And I was like, I'm looking that one up. So I got it out and I'm looking at it because not what that verse says. And if you read it in context with everything else, that is very clearly not what that verse says. So it's just, you can construe it any way you want to try to affirm what you believe in and what you've been taught your whole life. But
context is everything. Yep, context is everything. And you're gonna run into a lot of that. It doesn't matter if you're talking to a Catholic or if you're talking to a Buddhist or you're talking to a, you're gonna run into proof texts everywhere where there's gonna be just like we have our proof texts. And so it's, you know, it's why I'll go back to something we said earlier. You know, the with the Bible being foolishness to those who do not believe, it is difficult for someone to see the whole picture until their heart gets opened. And how does that work? What happens there? I don't understand it. I don't know how it works. I know the scriptures tell me that it's a wonderful mystery. When the heart gets open to salvation and the Holy Spirit comes in, and then suddenly your eyes are opened. But it also occurs by us being able to spread the word and plant the seeds and use God's word, and it's a wonderful mystery that we are involved in. And so we get to use God's word to open up the heart so that God's word starts to make sense. It's kind of crazy, you know? The words that I'm saying to you don't make any sense. However, these same words are going to soften your heart and open something up that's going to allow the Holy Spirit to eventually dwell within you. It's just incredible that God works this way. And I can't give you a full explanation of it. You know, when Jesus tells us in the book of John that nobody comes unto him unless the Father brings him to me. That's God working in that way somehow, some wonderful way to open up that heart and let things happen. But I firmly believe that it starts with, in most cases, with us planting these seeds, having these discussions, using God's word to say, here's what God says. And then things start to happen. It's amazing. You know, I don't think we've covered anything new today at all, which is fine. But I love the discussion. I don't really want to start talking about adultery right now. Just doesn't seem like the place to go. Does not seem like the place to go. But I do want to get, I want to wrap everything up next week probably, but we'll spend a pretty good amount of time on adultery, steal, and false witness, all three of those together. And then we'll also spend a fair amount of time on covet. Because once we take covetousness and realize that it can be the opening for breaking all of the other commandments, we have a lot to discuss there, talking about idolatry and what it all means and how it's an incredible little bookend to what God says is number one and what God says here at the end, and how Jesus also expanded upon some of these. So we will get to that next week, hopefully, and see where it takes us. But I have got to get used to this new medicine. Steve helped me out last week because I was taking it in the mornings, and when I would take it in the morning, it's over. The day is shot. I mean, within an hour and a half of taking it, I went back to bed. So now I take it at night, and I will tell you that right about now I'm running out of steam. So. I'm going to have to get used to some things. I'm literally getting like, ugh. So, Jesse, do you want to do the last 5 minutes? You good?
Yeah. I'm good.
I'm good.
I'm giving you a shot. You know, this is your chance. Any other comments or questions? I want to go ahead and wrap up here because I don't want to get into the adultery topic with only 5 minutes to go. But we will get into it and see where it takes us next week. We'll just listen to kids sing for a few minutes.
Yeah.
Just a little bird death.
I think it's cool they get to sing on Mother's Day. Wait,
yeah.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yes, definitely. Well, I'm going to stop there. I'm going to go ahead and ask Steve, would you close us out and then y'all can do whatever you feel up to do in the last 5 minutes here?
Absolutely.
All right.
Heavenly Father, we thank you, dear Lord. Thank you for this time. We thank you, dear Lord, for answered prayer. We pray today, and we had many prayers earlier. And also, dear Lord, I want to pray for mothers everywhere, and we give thanks for them, dear Lord. I mean, heck, without mothers, none of us would be here. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the blessings that they are in our life. We thank you for all that they do. We thank you for this time together and for sharing the word. We ask, dear Lord, that if there are any unsaved, that, dear Lord, in this church, that they come forward today. Heavenly Father, we ask that you're with all those who need you, those who are sick and suffering and separated. And we ask all these things, dear Lord, and give thanks in Jesus' name, and as you would have it. Amen.